have a way of focusing us. We have to think about what matters most when it comes to our spending, our healthcare. This is why so many people are joining MediShare right now. MediShare is a trusted way to save up to 50% on your monthly healthcare costs. More than 400,000 people have already made the switch. It's pretty obvious why, too, especially now during this challenging season with healthcare costs and out-of-pocket expenses going up. MediShare can save you a lot of money. The typical family saves $500 a month. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. There are different options to choose from to fit your budget. I'll give you the number here in a second. And if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Maybe now is the perfect time to make the switch and start saving. Here you go. Call 844-55-BIBLE. That's 844-55-BIBLE. 844-55-BIBLE.
Mission sequence time.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engines running. Commit. Liftoff.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to SWAT Radio here on Friday, April the 26th. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
I think it's the 26th.
Good job.
David Gray and Brad Sykes, and we are glad to be with you as we wrap up the week here on SWAT Radio. And Brad, this is an anomaly. We're getting 2 weeks in a row in. It's been a while since we've done 2 weeks
in a row. It really has. Well, I'm just glad you had to, figure out what date it was.
Yeah.
I get in here all the time like, well, welcome to SWAT Radio. Brad and Doug here. What day is it?
Well,
exactly?
You know, it's funny. In the world we live in, I don't look at calendars as much as I used to.
No,
I used to have
right.
a big calendar mm-hmm. above my desk for work. And
right.
I, you know, you were always writing the date on checks and things like that. Now, how many checks?
What are checks?
I know. I
what
write. I think I still write 1 or 2 checks a month.
Wow.
That's
I mean, that's
it.
Two
that's
more
a lot.
Than I write. I don't know if that's a good thing. Maybe I'd like to get back to doing that. I don't know about you. In light of the world we're living
yeah,
in.
Yeah, I know. Well, I still write them occasionally, but I had to write my nephew a check yesterday. He's what, 24 probably?
Right.
23, 24. And I felt like I was handing him, you know, Egyptian coins
well,
or something
probably,
like that.
He probably looked at it. What is this?
Yeah, what
exactly?
is this? Although I assume he's got whatever the technology is where you can just take a picture of the check
oh, of course.
And deposit it
yeah.
and all that.
So. Again, technology is great, but it does kind of concern me a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, it's opened up all the things that were supposed to make life easier.
Right.
Have opened up a lot more problems than we ever imagined because of, well, we talk about we talk about us being unable to save ourselves and our sinful nature. The sinful nature jumps in there when there's opportunity to steal and cheat and all this technology mm-hmm. opens that up. We never had to yeah. worry about social identity theft and fraud
right.
and that in
right.
the way that we do now.
I no, mean, exactly.
Crazy.
Exactly.
So.
But, well, we, you know, we don't have anything golf related to talk about. And you and I usually kind of get to talking about golf.
Well, although, except that.
Although that Scheffler knocked yeah. out another one.
Yep.
But that's been like 4 days ago. I mean, you know. It,
and to give equal billing, so did Nelly Korda.
That's well,
five in a row. And her fifth one was a major.
Amazing.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing stuff. So, yeah. Well, yeah, been fun to watch. I've been watching both of them. And when Scheffler won at Hilton Head, they had to finish 3 holes on Monday morning.
Right, right.
And we may have talked about this. I can't remember. But I watched those 3 holes.
I did
and
too.
He had a 5-shot lead going into the day. And it was almost, it was very kind of anticlimactic.
It was very weird.
And when he won it, when he made the last putt, he just kind of sauntered off the green right. and it wasn't really a big.
Well, there was only about 30 people. There.
Yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
The stands were full, but it wasn't
yeah.
like normal.
Right.
You know?
Right, yeah, fun to watch, and love to see great players do great things.
I do too.
You know,
by the way, I love that golf course. I've played it a number of times. I know you've got to play a nice golf course this week.
I did. I got to play Sawgrass, the stadium course, and did not play particularly well, but still had a good time.
Was so the course, I'm sure it was still in great shape.
Great shape. The rough was heavy. I think it gives you new appreciation for how good the pros
mm-hmm.
are, and you know, because you hit a good shot. And you can't, it's so hard to hold the green.
Yeah.
Or you think you're going to be 10, 15 feet away And then you take another look and the ball's still rolling and it settles down to a collection point. I mean, these guys are, they know where to hit it and mm-hmm. they're so precise with yeah. where they hit it leave themselves.
You just have to go play one of those courses yeah. to realize.
Right.
And I would consider myself a decent player.
You but are
I
realize more
I'm
than
really,
decent.
I'm really not that good. Doug and I have gotten out a couple of times.
Yeah,
in the last
he mentioned
week,
that.
Just hit some balls, which is great. He's going to be playing out there here in the next few weeks.
He mentioned that, yeah.
And I'm so excited for him. By the way, Doug, you can call in. Do you need the number, Doug? Do you have the number over there?
Yeah, we should know this by heart.
844-777. Doug,
if 7928.
So, Doug, if you want to call and ask David, you know, maybe David can give you some tips.
he knew I was playing out there, too.
Far better tips than I would give him.
Well, and the other thing that you realize, we had a four caddy, and the guy did a good job. Yeah. But reading putts, when he would read putts for us, I'd look at the putt and think one thing, and he'd tell me it's the total opposite. Mm-hmm. And, of course, he was right.
Right.
But I might see something in a putt and think, oh, it's going this way. And he says, no, play it four balls out to a foot out to the right.
Right.
You know, and I'm like, wow, I don't see that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he was right. So,
well, there's a spiritual element to that. You know, you need to be sound wisdom.
Right? Yeah. Humility and golf will teach you humility.
Amen to that.
That is so true.
No doubt about that. Well, listen, I know we had a big draft last night here in Jacksonville, well, across the country. I missed it. I think I was in REM sleep already. But any updates? Any
well,
good
there was
news
there
for
was
Jacksonville Jaguars?
All I know so far is they traded their first round pick and they traded out of the 17 spot with Minnesota. I think they got some future draft picks. And Minnesota's pick in the first round, which was 23rd, and they took a receiver, a highly regarded receiver, I think his name is Brian Thomas, from LSU, that hopefully will be another weapon for Trevor Lawrence. So I think most of the stuff I've heard on that has been positive feedback. There was a big surprise at number 8 when the Falcons took a quarterback named Michael Penix, because the Falcons in the offseason just signed Kirk Cousins to a big contract.
Wow.
And so that was a big surprise. They thought, pundits thought, they would take a receiver at that spot to again, get more weapons for Cousins. And they took a quarterback, which creates maybe a little friction there. But anyway, if you've watched mm-hmm. that quarterback documentary on Netflix, Netflix has a documentary called Quarterback. And the first season they followed Patrick Mahomes, Kirk Cousins, and I forget his name now. Another quarterback who won the Heisman. I can't remember his name. But anyway, when they follow Kirk Cousins, you see what a strong believer Cousins is. So I'm sure
That's
he'll handle this well. But it's got to be tough when you sign a big contract to be the guy. And then it's kind of like when the Patriots drafted Jimmy Garoppolo when Brady was still there. And
yeah.
that created a little friction. But
amazing.
We'll see. I watched a little bit because I was in the Patriots had the number 3 pick and I was interested. And then I watched a little bit more. But I mean, when you go back and watch old footage of what the draft used to be,
mm-hmm.
it was like a bunch of guys in an office sitting
right.
around smoking cigarettes in the building and, you know, talking on the telephone. And now it's become this huge. You should have seen the number of
it's
people
incredible.
There last night.
Yeah.
They had it at an outdoor venue in Detroit. There must have been 10,000 people there.
Amazing.
So,
yeah,
anyway.
Amazing. Well,
we'll see.
I know we'll move on from sports. we were, before we came on the air, I don't know if you listened to the Morning Wire, part of the Daily Wire. Anyway, there was interesting, obviously, these days, I mean, you just turn on the news, there's a dozen different things you could talk about.
Right.
But I don't know if you saw this, that Ted Cruz, Senator Ted Cruz, had an investigation which revealed how big tech weaponizes terms of service to silence the right.
Mm.
I thought this was very, very interesting. This week, the U.S. Senate Commerce Committee under ranking members Ted Cruz released an investigative report showing how online service providers are weaponizing their terms of service to deny conservative organizations access to essential business technology. The investigation showed how big tech employed a roadmap written by left-wing activists at the Southern Poverty Law Center and Anti-Defamation League to deplatform conservative organizations for supposed violations of broadly written terms of service agreements as a result of these sudden and unappealable removals. Conservative groups lost out on thousands of dollars in revenue and access to important services used for advocacy and business development. Now, it goes on. Interesting stuff. And this was what I found just incredible. Are you familiar with the libs of TikTok?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not that familiar, but they got deplatformed.
Yeah, basically. I'm not overly, I've heard of it. Let's put it that way.
But in response to why they suspended libs of TikTok account, Slack, which is one of the technologies, told the committee, what makes libs of TikTok post problematic is that libs of TikTok's post are that they target a conservative audience. Not that its post, which again are predominantly repost of liberal accounts, are themselves problematic. Yet look at what's happening. We've got no problem posting stuff about, you know, Hamas and people, you know, saying the end to the Jews. Uh-huh. But you can't talk about what liberals are talking about and just reposting that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
it's incredible.
It really is crazy. And boy, we're hearing that term weaponizing a lot, aren't we?
Yeah.
In not only with respect to that, what you're talking about, but whether it's talking about, you know, weaponizing elections or weaponizing the Justice Department or, you know, it's just was a term that was never used years ago. You never heard that.
No, exactly.
But
exactly.
Boy, yeah, things are topsy-turvy, to say the least, and it's going to be really interesting to see what happens here over the next several months and with this election coming up. And I think, you know, from my standpoint, I'm just trying to pray that it will be a just and fair election.
Right.
I'm not sure that we're capable of having that anymore. That's just my opinion. We don't mean to get too deep into politics here, but that's my opinion that I have my doubts that we can actually have a just and fair election. Have we reached the tipping point? You know,
right. I don't know. I think we have.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Doug and I were talking about this, I think on Tuesday, in light of, you know, what was going on at Columbia and, you know, students can't even get to their classes. In fact, the classes have been basically gone to online because you think about these kids. Now, I say kids, the kids aren't paying for it in most cases, especially $80,000 to $100,000 a year.
Yeah.
They can't even get to their classes because of this stuff.
Yeah.
And yet we've got presidents of universities who are unwilling to address that. I had dinner last night over at my daughter's house, you know, with 8 little kids running around. And you know, certainly, I know you know this just from our experiences of raising kids and then watching our grandkids. Mm-hmm. Listen, you got 8 kids running around. One of them's going to misbehave pretty quickly, and you better deal with it quick. You just don't let them get away with this.
Right.
And this is what's happened.
Right.
We don't want to nip it in the bud and do what's right.
Yep. Yep. In our lesson this week that we'll talk about next week on the radio, we were just talking about Herod. Mm-hmm. And Herod, his seizing and murdering of John the Baptist, and talking about evil leaders are, you know, they're always looking to play both sides of the fence, mm-hmm. right? They want to see which way the popular or political winds are blowing, and they want to appease that, and they want to do what's best for themselves.
Yeah.
And fence sitting and appeasement will never solve anything. It seems like the era of strong leadership where leaders will take a stand and just do what's right. Forget about what party you're in.
Exactly.
Can somebody just do what's right rather than just doing what's politically expedient? And boy, I don't know if we're beyond the tipping point with that.
Well, in light of what's going on in the world, who's going to get into politics knowing this is what you're going to have to deal with?
That's right.
It's crazy.
That's right. And I see all these, you know, the protesters and all of that. And you just wonder how many of them are truly paid activists who are coming in. They're not really students, but they're coming in just to take advantage of the platform.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
So, well, we're going to take our first break here on SWAT Radio. Give us a call if you would like to comment or have a question. We're at 844-777-7928. We're going to be talking about, as Brad and Doug have this week, Mark 6, 7 through 13 and verses 30 through 32 and do our usual kind of Friday format with this text. We'll be right back on SWAT Radio.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomnehl.com.
91 FM, The Truth.
There is good news for the captive, good news for the shame. There is good news for the world who walked away. There is good news for the doubter, the one religion failed, for the good Lord has come.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio, everyone. David Gray and Brad Sykes, glad that you are with us as we wrap up the week here on SWAT Radio. We're looking at Mark, as we have been all week, Mark chapter 6, verses 7 through 13, and then verses 30 through 32, the first short-term mission trip, if you will. I guess you could make the case that there were mission trips in the Old Testament as well. Jonah, I think of Jonah. Jonah's mission trip took a wild turn, but this was the first one where they were going out to preach the Euangelion, right?
And well, you and I did a short-term mission trip. We weren't in the belly of the whale, but we were in the belly of a pickup truck. I don't even know if that
was a van. It was some kind of a van.
But open air, you and I were in the back, right? I
mean, well, it wasn't quite open air, but it had some kind of cap on it or something. Yeah. We were in the van with all the luggage.
Yeah.
All the other guys on the trip were in vans going to the hotel, and you and I were in the van with a driver and another guy.
Right. There wasn't something that... That probably wasn't the safest spot we could have been in.
No, I don't think I'm not sure we had seatbelts. I can't remember. But the story is that we're in Manila late at night, probably around 11 o'clock at night, maybe midnight. And we're in the back of this vehicle with all the luggage going to the hotel where we were all staying. And I think within 5 minutes, our vehicle got pulled over by the Manila police. And
do you even remember why we got pulled over?
It had something to do with the registration of the car or the license plate. I think it had to do with your passport. You were a fugitive from just causing an international incident.
Exactly.
No, it was something. My recollection is, in the end, it was something to do with the vehicle registration or something. It turned out to be okay, but we sat there by the side of the road in Manila.
Oh,
this was our introduction to the Philippines.
Yeah, we're not even 5 miles outside of the city, or even we're still probably in the city.
Brad had to calm me. I was weeping uncontrollably, picturing
you were weeping and gnashing your teeth.
Yes,
probably.
Being imprisoned in Manila. But no, it was quite a trip. It was a great trip.
It really was.
A lot of memorable experiences.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm glad we're gonna kind of rehash this text. We were talking on the break about grandkids. I was sharing with you my, I think four of my oldest grandkids are having a lemonade stand this afternoon, raising money for their daddy, who by the way is on a turkey hunt right now. But he's doing a 100-mile bike ride in Colorado this summer, raising money for cancer.
Very cool.
And so his kids have decided they're going to do a little lemonade stand. So as soon as I'm done here, I'm going to go on over there and Buy me about 50 gallons of lemonade.
I was going to say it. I bet they'll get a good tip from you. What do your kids call you? What's your grandfather name?
I'm Easy.
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 That's a good one. Yeah.
So
you got to teach him because I'm easy like Sunday morning.
Exactly.
You teach him that song.
Well, now my kids wouldn't have called me Easy, but my grandkids will definitely call me Easy.
How did that come about?
Name? So years ago when our kids were, college age or kind of in that era, we got on this topic about, what do you think you're going to call me as a grandpa? And so I said, tell you what, why don't y'all just figure that out? Let us know. Those will be our names.
Right.
And so they determined I would be Easy because, as I was hard on my kids, but I'll be easy on my grandkids.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so Easy was just an easy statement. And then Vicky is OG.
OG.
For the original gangster. And, Vicky's father passed away several years ago. But if you ever met him, you would have thought he was a gangster.
Okay.
I mean, he died at 75, 76, full head of hair, mm-hmm. looked mm-hmm. like a mobster.
Yeah.
So that was kind of always her gang member name.
And of course, she's anything but.
Oh, my
she's
word.
She's the complete opposite, exactly. But that's a great name.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
A great name. Yeah.
But, yeah. So Easy and OG. What you told me yours. I think.
Well, I'm Pop, but it's modified into Pop. It's a long
Love
story,
it.
But my grandson had a little bit of speech delay and they were teaching him some sign language. And when you make the sign for grandfather, it's your head, your hand by your forehead, and then it juts out.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was easy to say Pop, Pop as his hand jutted out to say it again.
Right.
And that's how it became Pop, Pop. And then my younger granddaughter, because my grandson was calling me that, she just started calling me that. And Kelly is Gigi.
That makes good sense.
Yeah. It's always interesting to hear how grandparent names came about because there's some crazy ones out there.
Oh, my goodness.
There are some crazy ones.
Well, mine are very easy. See, look at that. Look how that is.
Yeah.
It's funny. I think I've shared this with you. Maybe our listeners don't know. My daughter, Leah, who is in Nashville, who's a recording artist, mm-hmm. but she also does a daily morning broadcast on radio. She has a morning radio show called The Leah Sykes Show. And you can, with their app, I guess you got an app, you can get on and actually watch her do the program.
I'm glad people can't watch
I am too. But although I think Wilson and some of these guys want us on video. Yeah, video for comedy is what it would be. But anyway, when I set up my account to be able to watch her program, which I don't watch very often. Sorry, Leah. But I had to set up an account and I set it up as Easy B and then dash Rad, R-A-D. Now, I thought she'll pick up on this. Mm-hmm. So Easy B Rad is my rapper name.
Right, right.
So I always say, you got a grandpa name, you got to have a rapper name.
A rapper. I don't have a rapper name, I don't think, but maybe I should get one.
Yeah, so. Go for it.
Well, I hope when you go over, I know you will. I hope the kids have a sign up about what they're raising the money for.
They will.
And that'll get people to, I love it. It just does my heart so good to see kids. Because it's rare that you see it anymore.
Yeah.
To see kids, though, doing a lemonade stand. Several weeks ago, I was playing golf, and, you're in a neighborhood. It was the St. John's County course, and you're crossing from one green to the next tee, and you're going across a little street, and there's kids just sitting there with a little stand selling golf balls.
Right.
And the golf balls were not great, right? It didn't matter. I just said, I knelt down and talked to them and picked out a bunch, and it was just, I just like seeing kids out doing something like that. If I drive by a field and there's kids out there playing baseball or shooting baskets, or I almost get emotional mm-hmm. because it's so rare to see that anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
So
very nostalgic.
Yeah,
right?
Well, and it's so much better for kids than sitting in the house on their phone.
But listen, when we hire those 84,000 new IRS agents, they'll be paying taxes on those golf balls.
On the lemonade and on the golf balls, yeah. Did you declare that income?
Exactly.
That's right.
Got to squeeze them for every little penny they can, right?
Well, and we'll wrap this up, but what you said about being hard on your kids and easy on your grandkids, it is a totally... I mean, there's times if I'm by myself with my grandson and I got to corral him in a little bit, I do. But it's nothing like when he gets in trouble with his father, my son, it's all I can do not to burst out laughing.
I know.
Right? So I'm smirking, but I don't want to undermine my son.
Right.
Right. And what he's trying to do to discipline him if he needs it. But of course, I have to turn my head away because I'm laughing half the time thinking about, well, what comes around goes around. Well,
I can say this because I know my daughter isn't listening and my son-in-law's on a turkey hunt. But last night when we were over there, you know, they've got a big backyard. They live right down the street from us, but they're fortunate to have a very big backyard for, you know, city living. And you got two of them with golf clubs in their hands hitting plastic golf balls everywhere. Yep. I'm throwing a pitch to two of them while they play. This is all in the – and I'm like, I'm surprised nobody got hurt.
Yeah.
The only hurt happened was hurt feelings because somebody has to win.
Right, of course.
And of course, right. My daughter had to reprimand them, and she came in and she goes, I just don't understand. They're so competitive. And I wanted to say, excuse me?
Yeah, yeah. Do you not remember?
You remember you went to the University of Florida on a swimming scholarship? I don't think you could have done that without being competitive.
That's right.
Competitiveness is good. It's I really enjoyed about Scheffler, what he talked about.
Yeah.
Listen, I am just competitive.
That's I want to okay. win.
That's right. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. I want to win. All right. We're way too far.
We are. Well, let's read the passage here before we go to break. It's a relatively short passage, but we're in Mark Chapter 6, verses 7 through 13, and then verses 30 to 32. So why don't I read that?
Before Doug calls us
to tell us to get on with it. Okay, here's the word of the Lord. And he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. And he said to them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you and they will not listen to you when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that the people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. And then verses 30 to 32. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while, for many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. Friends, these are the very words of the Lord.
Amen.
I said, Amen. Friends, I sound like Jim Nance.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know where that came from. I don't think I've ever said friends. But
this is why I love doing this with you on Friday. It's so fun.
Yeah, well, anyway. The first short-term mission trip, as we said, and when we come back, I know we just got a couple minutes before the break, but we'll look at this from the lens of kind of our Friday questions of what stands out to us. What is it? What does the passage teach us about God and about men? And the so what question, how can we be different as we go forward having studied this text?
Yeah, amen. And Doug always gives good, what I call takeaways, at the end of each lesson, which... Yep. This is what Friday is it really all about. Let's look at the text. What do we take away from this text? And there's a lot here. So as you and I kind of dig into it and just get personal with it, there's a number of things that kind of stand out. And I'm sure some of our listeners may want to, call in and give their comments as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I don't want to get into it because we're going to answer this question when we come back. But thinking about... You were talking about our mission trip to the Philippines, and now I'm not going to say the disciples didn't have preparation, because obviously they did. They had the greatest preparation being around Jesus.
Right.
But what Jesus tells them as they're going out, what to take and what not to take.
Exactly.
That was a little different than our preparation of, do we have everything we need? And are we taking what we need? And where are we going to eat and where are we going to sleep and all that kind of stuff? So anyway.
Jollibees.
The Jollibees. That's right. That's where we ate. We're going to take a break here at the bottom of the hour for the news on SWAT Radio. Give us a call at 844-777-7928 if you have a comment or a question. And we will be right back after the break on SWAT Radio.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Pro-Palestinian protests have caused chaos to university campuses across the nation. The protests have prompted the University of Southern California to cancel its main graduation event next month.
USC has announced the big May 10th commencement ceremony is now canceled. It comes a day after 90 people were arrested on campus. One was cited for having a weapon. There will still be dozens of individual school ceremonies that day with caps, gowns, and diplomas. But the main event is canceled, as was the valedictorian speech announced last week, prompting anger among some students like Isabel Griggs.
She's talking about issues that are important to not only our university, and to students, but to the world.
USC is among some of the universities around the country calling in police to break up some demonstrations. I'm Jackie Quinn.
Also at SRNews.com, Secretary of State Blinken has met with Chinese President Xi and a host of senior Chinese officials. The BBC's Stephen McDougall says the two sides are butting heads over a number of contentious bilateral, regional, and global issues.
It is hard for them to find a way forward on these areas because now they don't trust one another. To tell the truth, the trick is to find the places where they can cooperate, where they can free up trade.
Among areas of disagreement, Taiwan and China's support of Russia. Prices in the U.S. remain high, rising 0.3% from February to March. That's the same as in the previous month. Cargo ships now passing through the newly opened Deepwater Channel in Baltimore. That's after being stuck in the harbor since the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsed 4 weeks ago. The Dow ahead 244 points, the Nasdaq adding 338. This is SRN News.
This is Max McLean. Are you aware of the power that God has made available to us who believe? Listen to the Bible from 2 Peter 1. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. From 2 Peter 1. Listen to the Bible. It's great for the soul.
The Bible says that faith comes by hearing. Be able to hear the Word of God today and every day. To hear more, go to radiobible.org.
There's major delays because of a crash on the East Beltway on 295 northbound before Phillips Highway, blocking two right lanes. Also, there's another accident on the west side on I-10 westbound between Cassett Avenue and Lane Avenue, that crash blocking the left lane. Partly cloudy tonight, low 67. Saturday, mostly sunny, high 82. From the Traffic and Weather Center, I'm AJ.
They say sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some. And right now I'm losing bad. Stood on this stage night after night, reminding the broken it'll be all right.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio, everyone. David Gray and Brad Sykes, glad that you are with us as we look at Mark chapter 6, verses 7 through 13 and verses 30 through 32. And a familiar passage about Jesus sending the disciples out in pairs to, as Doug and Brad talked about this week, proclaim the euangelion. And just to, by way of quick review, the four kind of main points Doug had brought out and Brad had brought out this week are: they were sent out to proclaim the euangelion, to project Jesus' authority, to prove their dependence on God, to point out to the people the consequences of unbelief, and to persevere to the end in being faithful witnesses for Jesus. So those were kind of the, and there was a lot of conversation and teaching around those points. But Brad, what aside from that, Are there other things that stand out to you about this particular passage?
Well, nothing that, you know, that Doug didn't bring out in the text, but I think, you know, in fact, just this morning, I was, just one thing I wanted to mention real quick. Sometimes we talk about these things on the break, but I was been working through the book of Acts, which you and I, our whole SWAT team group went through a couple of years ago, and specifically looking at Saul's conversion on the road to Damascus, and he goes and, you know, is basically blind for 3 days. Ananias comes in, lays hands on him, you know, he gets baptized. And it says that, let me just find it real quick. Hang on just a second. And it had to do, it made me think about this particular passage here, that after Jesus calls the 12, he sends them out.
Mm-hmm.
He begins to send them out, it says.
Yeah.
And it made me think about this, that even Paul or Saul, immediately he went out and started declaring the gospel. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it made me realize that, and I don't know if this is a Western thing, it might be a good discussion to have with Doug, who's been all over the world. You know, is this just a Western thing that we feel like we have to spend so much time being, you know, what I would call trained, you know, in sharing the gospel, when in reality, that's not, now you made the point. Obviously, these guys have been trained somewhat.
Right.
But you still think about when Jesus said, come and follow me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are we presenting the gospel, seeing people converted, and then sending them out? Or are we overloading them with a bunch of theology? Nothing wrong with theology. Right. Obviously, we love theology. But I think sometimes we get this idea, and I do personally. Man, do I have it down? I still remember you and I in the Philippines.
Yep.
You know, do we really know exactly what we're going to say? You know, this idea that we have to be overly prepared to go share the gospel.
Right, right. I that's a great point. And I think that there's certainly, I know for me, a trip like that and subsequent times, it has been important for me to have a structure by which I can share, and you know what I mean when I say it this way, in a pinch, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Almost like an elevator speech, right? You have a couple minutes with somebody. I think it's good to have a structure to kind of fall back on, like we did where we talked about God's original plan, our problem, sin, mm-hmm. and what the consequences of that are, God's solution, gracious and loving solution in Jesus, and then fourthly, and very importantly, our response.
Yeah.
That it's not just about praying a prayer or getting baptized; it's about a changed life.
Mm-hmm.
Not that the changed life earns our salvation, but that it is evidence of the reality that God has regenerated our heart, that we are responding and doing the good works He created it beforehand for us to do. So. And then as we've talked last summer when we reviewed the discipleship gospel, and as we've talked about euangelion this year and realized that maybe my old gospel presentation was a little bit incomplete, that it's also not just about those four points, but it's about the rule and reign of Christ
mm-hmm.
and about the kingdom of God and about coming under His rule with my whole life. That, boy, that changed. You know, and that's part of our sanctification. We're just, so anyway, I'm getting a little off track, but my point is, I think there's a balance between having something prepared, right?
Mm-hmm.
Always be ready to give the reason for the mm-hmm. hope if you get asked. But on the other hand, not going so overboard that we're always preparing but never doing.
Right.
Right? Never sharing.
Yeah.
And I believe me, I can get caught in that trap.
Yeah. Well, can't we all? You know, and I think, you know, somebody like you or me or Doug or anybody, you know, anybody who takes the word and teaches it, studies it. I love to study the word. I love it. I like to teach, but I love to study.
Mm-hmm.
The result of studying is to share what has been said. Now, with that said, it is so important to be consistently sharing the Evangelion. And I had lunch with an old friend yesterday, and he was reminding me of his testimony 50 years ago.
Mm.
And he came to Christ in the hospital after having back surgery. And he had, you know, adamantly denied Christ up to that point. His wife had been praying for him for 7 years. He comes to Christ in the hospital. Within hours, he is already confessing sin, repenting, and sharing the gospel. No training, no nothing.
Mm-hmm.
The excitement of what had happened to him
right.
was enough to motivate him.
Yeah.
And it's we say it oftentimes, you and I were talking about a local barbecue place we really like. I got no problem telling people about
right.
it. I don't know the ingredients that right. they use in their barbecue sauce. I don't know the content of the lean or the, you know, moist brisket. Think about all the details that make that good barbecue.
Right.
I don't know the details. I just know it's really good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And can that not be enough sometimes?
Right.
I mean,
right.
yes, you know, it's God's plan, man's sin, Jesus, or God's provision and yep. man's response.
Yep.
And, you know, one other thing, I'm not adding to this, but one other thing I took away from this week was the element, and I confess this, even on the air, that I oftentimes don't point out the consequences of unbelief.
Correct. That we're hesitant to do that because we don't want to tell somebody, look, you're going to hell.
Yeah.
I mean, right. let's be blunt.
Yeah.
It's what we dance around that. Now, I'm mm-hmm. not saying... I want to be careful here because I don't want to be sounding like I'm not, like you said, unwilling to share the consequences of unbelief. We can be a little more tactful probably, mm-hmm. but the idea that, right, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
Yeah. Well, and again, never would I compare what, you know, whether it's barbecue or it's a good golf course right. or whatever. There are no consequences if you don't eat at my favorite barbecue mm-hmm. place.
Right.
There are consequences
yeah.
to denying Christ.
Right.
And,
right.
And that's it. And it's sobering and it's troubling. It's very troubling.
Yeah. I was talking about this the other day in a talk I had to give on the weekend. And, but you know, hell has become, in separation from God and God's punishment has become, and I think this is a trick of the enemy, it becomes so trivialized. And so, you know, it's part of jokes, it's part mm-hmm. of songs. I think of, you know, whether it's I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints, mm-hmm. or whether it's a Far Side cartoon, and which is a very funny cartoon, by the way. But this idea that it really won't be that bad.
Yeah.
It really won't be that bad.
Mm.
The party in hell, right? That kind of an attitude. The Bible talks a lot about hell.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus talked a lot yeah. about it.
Yeah.
And think about it. Somebody said this to me once, and this was really helpful to me. Anything good that we enjoy in this life is from God.
Yeah.
The creation itself, our relationships, our families, any kind of material possessions that we have, our next breath,
yeah.
right? They're all gifts from God. All the good things that we love are from God. And yet, of course, men suppress the truth and unrighteousness, believe that it's of themselves that these things occur. But without not realizing that hell will not only be punishment, well, it will be eternal separation from God, who is the only source of anything good.
Yeah.
That's sobering.
Sobering. Very sobering.
Very sobering.
Yeah.
And I catch myself sometimes. I'm sure we've talked about this before. You know, you get aggravated. There's so much to get angry about in the world today, and the way people treat each other and the way people, you know, treat the name of Jesus and treat the scriptures and mock God. And it's easy to get angry and think, well, you're going to get yours. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm right there with them apart yeah. from God's grace.
Yeah.
And so that's the wrong attitude on my part.
Totally agree. And I think, you know, when you think about the sobering reality of separation from God, we wouldn't want that for our worst enemy.
Right.
you know,
right,
if we're ever exposed to that.
That's right. So. And there's no coming back from it.
That's right.
So, yeah. Anyway, we're going to take a break, last break of the day here on SWAT Radio. We're glad you're with us. Give us a call at 844-777-7928 if you have a comment or a question, and we'll be right back to continue our discussion in Mark 6.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
SWAT Radio is brought to you in part by Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. is a full-service sales door and window installation company. Both of the owners are licensed contractors and are involved in the daily operations of the company. All of their trucks are company-owned and fully equipped. Their mission is to provide Jacksonville and the surrounding area with door and window replacement services. To learn more, call 904-701-3667. That's 904-701-DOOR. Or online at www.acedoor.com.
Joshua 1:9 states, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Highway to Eternity Ministries is dedicated to encouraging those who have lost hope. The ministry seeks to serve those who cannot find peace and are considered unfit for inclusion in Christ's church. They use published works to teach God's word and share the encouraging testimonies of lives that have been transformed through God's power and grace. Highway to Eternity Ministry serves as a parachurch ministry that comes alongside churches to share its passion and commitment through spiritual writings, nuances, and experiences to everyone who has an interest in the teachings of Jesus Christ. For more information, contact Jeff Andrews at 904-436-5175 or visit www.highwaytoeternity.com. Highway to Eternity Ministries is a proud sponsor of SWAT Radio.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, serving Kings Bay at 91.3.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice at the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio, everyone. David Graham, Brad Sykes, glad you're with us as we wrap up the program and as we wrap up the week here on SWAT Radio. Boy, the weeks just continue to fly by. We'll be having our last SWAT meeting of the semester, I think, on May 15th. I think Doug is planning an all SWAT meeting. So, by the way, we've mentioned this in the past, but if you want to find out anything about our SWAT men's Bible studies, please go to SWATradio.com. You can find out all the information about where and when those meetings are held, and we'd love to have you join. So, Brad, before the break, we're talking about, you know, kind of what stood out to us about this passage and got into some things about being, sometimes we're always preparing to share the gospel and sometimes not doing it as often as we can. And we were talking during the break about, you know, how hard it is and how reluctant we are sometimes to share face-to-face and in personal situations. We were talking about, you know, what we do here behind the microphones. And I love this and I think it's important. And I'm so thankful and blessed that God's given me the opportunity to do it. But it's harder when you're face to face with someone.
No doubt. I mean, Doug and I've said this from the very beginning. We don't sit behind these mics having it all figured out and doing it all.
No.
We are just like our listeners. We are being sanctified.
Mm-hmm.
I think of Paul's words. He says, "I'm confident of this, that he who began a good work in us will bring it to completion." Just a little heads up: we're in completion.
Yeah.
We're incomplete, but we're being completed.
Right,
and we are sanctified positionally, but we are being sanctified.
Yep.
And the reality is, it's easy to sit behind these mics, open the Bible, and teach from it, and discuss it. the question is, am I doing it face-to-face with people?
Mm-hmm.
Am I sharing the euangelion? Am I sharing the good news, the gospel, with those that God has sovereignly placed in my sphere?
Mm-hmm.
We use the term oikos map, not within SWAT, but for me when I'm discipling guys, which is a kind of a term. Oikos is a Greek word. It's where we get the word ecosystem from. And it's the idea that God has put, by his sovereign purposes, people in your life, in your ecosystem. It may be a neighbor. It may be a spouse. It may be a child. It may be a coworker. It could be a friend from the gym. Wherever it is, whatever your ecosystem is, God has put people right there for the purpose of sharing the euangelion with, to share the gospel with. And boy, yes, maybe the first week or two getting on the radio was a little nerve-wracking years ago when we first started it. Listen, I get a lot more nervous when I've got to share, when I feel when I feel the Lord leading me to go share the gospel with somebody.
So let's talk about that for a minute. Why do you think that is, and how can we, and how can others who may have the same issue overcome that?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's one I ask a lot, and I think most people would say it's fear of man.
Yeah.
It's fear of man. Our pastor this past week was talking about how easy it is to be enslaved to people-pleasing, man-pleasing. I always say I'm a recovering people-pleaser.
Yeah.
I'm not recovered because I still want you to like me.
Yeah.
And the gospel, scripture tells us, is a stumbling block.
Mm-hmm.
It is a stumbling block, and people don't want to face the reality of being told they're sinful.
Yep.
Think about Paul. Why was Paul okay, prisoning people who were Christian?
Right.
Because Christianity went against Paul's whole idea.
Yep.
I am a Jew, circumcised on the eighth day. He just kind of lays out his, what we would call his spiritual resume, as if that's going to earn some favor with God.
Yeah.
The reality is that's people who are lost. I was that way. Yeah. I was a good kid.
Right.
I grew up in the church, went to church every week. I mean,
moral, right?
Had you asked me, I would have thought, yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah. Of course I'm a Christian.
Right.
The reality is I was a wretched, sinful person separated from God. That's harsh.
Yeah. Well, that's the part I was going to talk about a little bit, is that by nature, I don't like confrontation. And inherent in the gospel, and I'm not saying that we present it confrontationally, but by its nature, it's confrontational, right? Because you can't be neutral on Jesus.
Right.
You either believe it or you don't. And I think that there's an element of confrontation there when you share with someone that, again, is inherent to the message and to the process. And I wouldn't say that I don't think I present it, I hope I don't, in a confrontational style, like between me and the other person. I hope I'm doing it lovingly and kindly, but it demands a response. And it doesn't, if we share the gospel, and we've talked about this many times, excuse me, we're not responsible for the other person's response. God is. But it is I know that when I bring this up and I share, it is confrontational in that sense that I'm saying to someone, look, this is the truth. And it's hard for people in our culture to hear absolute truth, right? They're not used to it. They're used to, how many commercials do you see these days where you hear the term, and that's my truth?
Yeah.
Or I'm going to speak my truth.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
Right.
Right. Everybody had a quote unquote truth, then nothing would be true.
Right. That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think that sharing in and by itself is confrontational. It's challenging. And I think for me, I'm someone who shies away from confrontation. I'm like that in my life. It takes a lot, I hope, for me to really get agitated with someone and confront them about something. But, and I'm not saying that that's the way the gospel sharing is, but by nature it's confrontational. And I think that's what causes me sometimes to not jump in with both feet like I should.
Yeah. Well, I think Doug did a good job of talking about the fact they went 2 by 2, and what did they do? They were proclaiming the gospel. Mm-hmm. They were proclaiming the Evangelion. They were preaching is what they were doing.
Yeah.
The whole idea of telling your Christian friend, hey, God wants you to go preach the gospel. He doesn't tell you to go teach the gospel.
Right, proclaim it.
It's to proclaim it. It's the word I love is to herald it. Well, do you whisper a herald? A herald is not whispering.
Right.
A herald is not teaching it.
Yeah.
A herald is proclaiming.
You're stating facts.
It's force. Right. It has an element of forcefulness.
Right.
Doug used the analogy, and I've used it several times myself. I don't live on a busy street, but from time to time, the Amazon truck goes down my street way too fast.
Yeah.
And I tell my kids as they're playing in my front yard, if they start to get close to the street, I usually sit down and say, hey, guys, listen, I'm fine with you playing out here in the front yard, but we don't run out in the street. Good? Good. Yeah. Everybody good? Yep. Yeah. Everybody's good. That's teaching.
Yeah.
The minute a ball goes into the street and they start to dart for that street, I start preaching.
You start proclaiming.
I start proclaiming and heralding. The reality is, and the reason why I do that is because I love them and I don't want to see them hurt.
Yeah.
Now, we're talking about we love people enough to herald the gospel and the consequences of not receiving the gospel, not believing in the gospel.
Right.
And so, you know, just to tie—
That's a great analogy. Really
just to tie in one other element that I truly was very convicted by, and that was the part about the where Jesus says, he tells them what to take and what not to take.
Right.
And he says to them, he charged them to take nothing for their journey, verse 8, except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. Just those two verses, 8 and 9 of Mark chapter 6, speak about the idea of dependence on God. Mm-hmm. Now, why would they have two tunics? Listen, I mean, multiple reasons. You know, the wealthier people wore two tunics.
Right.
And hit their case, just take one.
Yeah.
That's all you need is one.
Yeah.
You know, you think about the things, as we kind of started the broadcast even today, is how much we think we have to be prepared mentally to go share the gospel.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying there absolutely should be an element of preparation. I think about where Paul tells Timothy, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth.
Mm-hmm.
There is preparation required. But boy, we don't need a lot of the things we do. And I find my dependence oftentimes in things other than God.
Yeah. How well have I studied it? How well have I read things? How you know, have I practiced it?
Mm-hmm.
And again, in and by themselves, those things aren't necessarily bad. But are we worrying too much about that?
Yeah.
And also, do we have, to your point, the sense of urgency? And that was the word used here, right? There was a word used, a Greek word, that the caruso, was that the word?
Yes, caruso.
That has to do with urgency, because it's not just physical life and death. It's eternal life and death. It's spiritual life and death, right?
Amen.
And I too often don't think on that. And so, I think that's one of our great takeaways. One of our so what's is, am I being urgent?
Mm-hmm.
Am I being bold?
Yeah.
And you said it so well, because we love people and don't want to see this happen to them.
Right. Well, we know the consequences of a kid walking out in the middle of the street.
Right.
They're going to get hit.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. This was great, Dave.
Well, another hour has flown by, and we are so glad that you've been with us and listened and hopefully edified. We want you to have a great weekend, Doug and Brad. Actually, you and I will be here on Monday. Doug is going to be away. So you and I will be here Monday, and we'll be getting into our next lesson and section in the book of Mark. So hope you all have a great weekend, and that you'll come back on Monday to SWAT Radio.